believe what Noah Webster said. Casting Company presents for your enjoyment the famous Fun with Words game, Noah Webster Says, produced and transcribed in Hollywood. On the stage are several contestants who have volunteered from the audience. And here he is, the originator of Noah Webster Says, his pockets crammed with $50 bills and a good word for everybody, your genial, jovial wordmaster of ceremonies, Haven McQuarrie.
Full start.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye what Noah Webster says. The National Broadcasting Company presents for your enjoyment the famous Fun with Words game, Noah Webster Says, produced and transcribed in Hollywood. On the stage are several contestants who have volunteered from the audience. And here he is, the originator of Noah Webster Says, his pockets crammed with $50 bills and a good word for everybody, your genial, jovial wordmaster of ceremonies, Haven McQuarrie.
Thank you. Welcome to Noah Webster Says, to our game of defining words we all should know, brought to you by the National Broadcasting Company. At his desk, the chairman of the Department of Speech at Occidental College, who will judge this word contest, Dr. Charles Frederick Lindsley.
Thank you, Haven, and good evening, friends. The direct quotations to be heard in tonight's program are from Webster's New International Dictionary, second edition, copyright 1934 and 39, by the publisher G.N.C. Merriam Company.
Fine, here's our first guest of the evening. How do you do?
How do you do, sir?
Your name?
John J. Brodus.
And where from?
From Los Angeles.
Oh, born here?
No, sir. I was born in the state of Louisiana.
Oh, a southern gentleman, and you moved to Southern California.
That's correct.
And your occupation?
I'm with the Clarence Dixon Cadillac Agency here in Hollywood.
Is that a new agency?
No, that's not a new agency. It's a new name on a very old company here in Hollywood.
What was the old company?
It was formerly the Hillcrest Motor Company.
The what?
The Hillcrest Motor Company.
Oh, and Clarence Dixon bought it out, huh?
That's correct, sir.
Fine. Well, now remember, this is all in fun. And even if you lose, you will have added another word to your vocabulary. This list you've chosen wins a check for $5 for Mrs. Frances Fisher of Minneapolis, Minnesota. This list is dedicated to the Christmas turkey and the trimmings. For example, if I were to ask you to define the noun freshette, spelled F-O-U-R-C-H-E-T-T-E, the correct answer would be, a freshette in this sense, is the Marathon, spelled M-E-R-R-Y-T-H-O-U-G-H-T. And the Marathon is the wishbone. Now, is this list pertaining to the Christmas turkey clear to you?
I hope so.
Well, so do I. Now, just for fun, what is a freshette?
Well, you just told me that a freshette is a marathon, and a marathon...
Is a what?
A marathon, and a marathon is a wishbone, and a wishbone is a marathon, and a marathon is a freshette, and a freshette is a wishbone.
In other words, a marathon is a wishbone, and what's a freshette?
A marathon or a wishbone.
And, they both mean wishbone. Is that
right? All the same thing.
All the same thing. Wishbone. Fine. Well, here's one to hold and wish for your good luck. Now, let's enjoy this turkey. And here's your first question for $1. Now, are you ready for the turkey?
Yes, indeed.
Uh-huh. Well, what is the musical part of the turkey?
The musical part? Must be the gobble-gobble part of him.
Do you call that music?
That's turkey music.
The gobble-gobble's turkey music, huh?
That's right.
Do you, by chance, just to get you on the beam, do you like the leg of a turkey?
Oh, I get it. Drumsticks. You're right.
Drumsticks.
Noah Webster says drumstick is correct. Drumstick, in a sense, means the segment or joint of a fowl's leg between the thigh and the tarsus. Drumstick.
Just beat that one right on the nose. Now, for $2 more, your next word pertaining to the turkey is the noun gizzard, spelled G-I-Z-Z-A-R-D. So what is a gizzard?
Well, the gizzard is a turkey's crankcase or a digestive organ.
That's right. Now, where would that be?
That would be in his stomach.
That's right. Which one?
Has he got more than one?
Well, according to Noah Webster, he has two.
Oh?
Uh-huh. Two. Now, remember, this is your second question.
Would it be second stomach?
Noah Webster says gizzard. The second posterior stomach of birds, having especially in seed-eating birds, very thick muscular walls and a tough, horny, or occasionally even bony lining. In it, the food is ground up by the action of the muscular walls. Many birds swallow gravel to assist in this process. Gizzard is right.
It's crankcase, Doctor.
It's crankcase.
Says the automobile man. Now for $3 more, your next word pertaining to a part of the turkey is the noun furculum. Spelled F-U-R-C-U-L-U-M. So what part of the turkey is the furculum?
The furculum should be his breastbones.
You're very warm, but that isn't it. Did you ever hear of the fruchette?
Well, a fruchette is a marathon, and a marathon is a wishbone.
Well, that's marvelous. Now, can you think of three words meaning wishbone?
Fruchette, marathon, and wishbone.
And furculum. Professor.
Noah Webster says furculum. The wishbone. That is right.
Now, for $3 more, do you still like turkey?
Oh, I love it.
You do. That's good. Now, for $4 more, your next part of the turkey dinner is the oxycoccus. Spelled O-X-Y-C-O-C-C-U-S. So what is your best definition for the noun oxycoccus?
Oxycoccus?
By the way, what part of the turkey do you like? What's your favorite part of the turkey? What do you like? What do you like that goes with turkey?
Oh, stuffing.
And what else?
Mashed potatoes and gravy.
You like mashed potatoes and gravy, huh?
That's right.
And what else?
Green peas.
Green peas. Now, you like mashed potatoes and gravy with your turkey, and you like stuffing. What is your favorite sauce?
Oh, I must have hard sauce with my plum.
You must have hard sauce. Hard sauce.
Oh, I get it. Cranberry sauce.
Noah Webster says oxycoccus, a small genus of trailing prostrate evergreen shrubs, the cranberries.
Marvelous. An oxycoccus is cranberries, right?
Cranberries.
Now you've won $10. Now would you like to take the 10 and quit? How would you like to try for a $50 bill? Now if you fail to define this last word, you lose the 10. But if you win, it'll be my pleasure to give you a $50 bill. What is your pleasure?
Gee, $50 is Christmas time is swell.
All right. Cross your fingers. And now for a $50 bill, we come back to the turkey and the $50 pot. Which is the Europygium. Spelled U-R-O-P-Y-G-I-U-M. Europygium. So what is your definition for Europygium?
Euro what?
No, Not I'm a what? You're a pigeon.
You're a pigeon.
You're a pigeon, not you're a pigeon. What's your favorite part of the turkey?
Well, I like the dark meat from about the second joint.
You do, huh? I like that, too. But that isn't the Europygium.
Oh, me.
What part do you dislike most?
Well, the neck.
The neck. Well, now, the neck is the wrong end.
Oh, I get it. The part that goes over the fence last.
And what part would be the part that goes over the fence last?
That's the little jigger that sticks up on the back. That looks like a Cadillac taillight.
Professor!
Noah Webster says Europygium is the fleshy and bony prominence at the posterior extremity of a bird's body which supports the tail feathers.
That little jigger that sticks up like a Cadillac taillight.
Very apt description, I would say.
You settled for that, did you, Doctor?
It's a very apt description. We'll accept
very
that.
Good. Every time I see a turkey, I'll think of a Cadillac. Maybe that's where they got the idea.
Now, here is your $50 bill, sir. Thanks for coming. Hope you had fun. And a Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Thank you very much. And I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Here's a memo for great radio entertainment. There's action-packed adventure awaiting you tonight when, over most NBC stations, you'll hear Dangerous Assignment starring Brian Donlevy. Follow Brian Donlevy on his Dangerous Assignment tonight and each Saturday night on NBC for great adventure. And now, back to Haven McQuarrie.
Here's our next contestant. How do you do?
How do you do, sir?
You're having a good time tonight?
Yes, wonderful.
Your name?
Ellen Gilbert.
And where from?
Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Well, my home state. And your occupation?
I'm going to City College right now.
Oh, here in Los Angeles?
Yes, sir.
Well, welcome to our Fun with Words game, Noah Webster says. This list you've chosen wins a check for $5 for Mrs. Louise Hickey of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses. This list calls for you to define five words or terms, each of which is a prayer. As Phillips Brooks once said, a prayer in its simplest definition is merely a wish turn Godward. And now for our first prayer. What is your best definition for the noun grace as a prayer?
Well, that's my middle name. I should know that. Let's see. Grace is a short prayer said at the table.
You're right. Professor.
The blessing asked or thanks rendered at a meal. Correct.
And your name is Grace.
Yes,
huh?
My middle name, sir.
Now, for $2 more, your next prayer is the plural noun Vespers, spelled V-E-S-P-E-R-S. So, as a prayer, what is your definition for the plural noun Vespers, and what is the time?
Well, Vespera in Latin means evening, so that's a late afternoon or early evening prayer.
You're right, Professor.
Vespers, the evening prayer. Correct.
Now, for $3 more, your next prayer is the proper noun Angelus, spelled capital A-N-G-E-L-U-S. So what is the time for the Angelus?
Well, there's a famous painting by Millet of the Angelus.
Uh-huh.
It's very beautiful. It pictures the peasants in the fields pausing to pray when they hear the Angelus bell. And the Angelus is a form of devotion said at morning, noon, or evening.
Professor. Very good. Angelus is a prayer said at morning, noon, and evening at the sound of a bell called the Angelus Bell. Excellent.
Lovely. And now for $4 more, your next prayer is the noun offertory, spelled O-F-F-E-R-T-O-R-Y. So in this sense, what is your definition for the noun offertory?
The collection.
You're right, Professor.
Offertory is a prayer made in connection with the making of offerings. Right.
I have won $10. Would you like to take the 10 and quit, or would you like to continue praying for 50?
Well, Santa Claus doesn't believe in me anymore, so I'd like to try.
All right, fine. Now for a $50 bill, your final prayer on this list is the noun paternoster, spelled as a noun P-A-T-E-R-N-O-S-T-E-R. So as a prayer, what is your definition for the noun paternoster?
The Lord's Prayer.
You're right, Professor.
Oh, as I said, Paternoster in this sense means the Lord's Prayer or a recital of it in any language.
Here is your $50 bill, my dear. Thanks for coming, and thanks for a splendid job. And please stand by for the final exam.
Thank you.
Here's our next contestant. How do you do?
How do you do, sir?
And your name?
Sergeant Robert Milam.
And where from?
Russellville, Arkansas.
Well, welcome to our game of fun with words, Noah Webster says.
Thank you.
This list you've chosen wins a check for $5 from Mrs. William F. Morgan of Hartford, Connecticut. This list of words is dedicated to a Christmas poem. And speaking of Christmas, thousands of folks have written to asking us to explain why Christmas is sometimes called, spelled capital X-M-A-S. They ask us to explain why it's that. Well, it is spelled that way because it comes from the Greek letter. The X means chi, and chi means Christ. And mass means festival, and Christ festival, therefore, Christmas. And now, are you ready for this famous poem?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, for $1... Clement Clark Moore wrote a Christmas poem in 1844, the title of which was A Visit from St. Nicholas. Now, can you give the first line of that poem?
'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house.
That's marvelous, Professor.
It was the night before Christmas. That is correct.
And now for $2 more, you are to define an adjective pertaining to a word in the first verse of this poem. Your word is murine, spelled M-U-R-I-N-E. So the adjective murine pertains to what animal? Do you remember this part of the poem?
Not a creep.
It was the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a murine.
Well, a mouse, a small
right,
animal.
You're right,
small animal.
So, says murine means pertaining to a mouse.
Now, for $3 more, your next word to define an association with the poem is ingle, spelled I-N-G-L-E. So what is your best definition for the noun ingle? Ingle. You remember this line? The stockings were hung by the ingle with care.
By the chimney with care.
And the chimney was the top of what?
A fireplace.
You're
with
right.
Care.
No left to say ingle. In the sense, a fireplace.
I know it.
Now, for $4 more, your next problem comes from these lines. When what to my wondering eyes should appear? A miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. Now, for a $10 bill, can you name the 8 tiny reindeer?
Dancer, Dasher, Vixen, Comet, Blitzen, Donner. All right, I'll take one. Cupid.
How many was that?
8, I believe.
Will you do that again?
Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Vixen, Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen.
It came right back to you, didn't it?
Professor. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now, dash away, dash away, dash away all. I think you got them all correct.
That's fine. Now, for a $50 bill, your last term to define an association with this poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas, is the Bishop of Myra. Now, for a $50 bill, can you give another appellation for the Bishop of Myra?
Bishop of Myra.
Bishop of Myra. Now think of the poem. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, with hopes that the Bishop of Myra soon would be there.
Hopes that old St. Nick would soon be there.
You're right. Noah Webster says St. Nicholas, the Bishop of Myra, Asia Minor, the patron saint of Russia, Greece, the Kingdom of Naples, etc., and of mariners, merchants, and children, as the bearer of presents to children on Christmas Eve. His name has been corrupted to Santa Claus. St. Nicholas is correct.
Fine. Here's your $50 bill, Sergeant. Thanks for coming. Come and see us again when you come our way. A Merry Christmas to you and yours, and God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Three times mean good times on NBC. Later tonight, there's an hour of fun for you and your whole family with Christmas programs by Dennis Day and Judy Canova. Dennis promises to sing some of your favorite Yuletide music, and Judy gets involved in a misunderstanding about her Christmas present from her boyfriend. Be sure to hear Dennis Day and Judy Canova for an hour of fun later this evening. And now, back to Haven McQuarrie.
Here's our next guest. How do you do?
How do you do?
Your name?
This is Catherine Kirby.
And where from?
Well, I'm from Colorado.
You were born there?
Yes.
Your occupation?
I'm a housewife.
Well, welcome to our game of fun with words. This list you've chosen wins a check for $5 for Mrs. Ken Taylor of Midland, Texas. This calls for you to define five words, each of which is a part of the Christmas dinner table. For example, if I were to ask you to define the noun epergne, spelled E-P-E-R-G-N-E, I'm sure you would say why an epergne is a centerpiece for a table decoration. You would? Would
yes.
you not?
I
you
most
would.
Certainly would.
Well, that's fine. Well, now, can you give a fancy name for a centerpiece for a table decoration?
A fancy name.
That's right.
Well, I've decorated the center of my table with a horn of plenty.
With a horn of plenty, uh-huh. huh? Well, now, I'm going back a few minutes. You're a little bit confused. This word is spelled E-P-E-R-G-N-E, and it's a fancy center table decoration. Now, can you give a name for a fancy center table?
Yes, Epernig.
Not Epernie, Epern.
Epern.
That's fine, Epern. Now, that's good. Remember that, will you?
Yes.
All right. Your first word for the Christmas table is the noun cutlery. Spelled C-U-T-L-E-R-Y. So what is your best definition for the noun cutlery?
Well, cutlery is a sharp instrument. I would say knives.
Yeah, that was sharp, Professor.
I'd say correct.
Fine. Now, for $2 more, your next Christmas table word is the noun napery, spelled N-A-P-E-R-Y. So what is your best definition for the noun napery?
Well, that's the tablecloth and the napkins. I'd say table linen.
You're right.
Table linen, correct. Sometimes household linen.
Now, for $3 more, your next Christmas table word is the noun serviette. Spelled S-E-R-V-I-E-T-T-E, serviette. So what's your best definition for the noun serviette?
Well, I think that's the napkin.
You think so?
Yes.
You're right. You don't have to think further,
That
Professor.
Is correct. A table napkin.
Very good. Good old gravy catcher. Now, for $4 more, your next Christmas table word is spelled E-P-E-R-G-N-E. Now, for a $10 bill, you were to pronounce this word and define it. How would you pronounce it?
Epernie.
It isn't Epernie. Well, this is Christmas. I'll pronounce it. Epern.
Epern.
Now, you define it.
Well, it's a very decorative centerpiece for a table.
Lovely.
Epern, a centerpiece for table decoration.
I have one $10. Now, would you like to take the 10 and quit, or would you like to try for a $50 bill?
Oh, I'd like very much to try for the $50 bill.
All right. Now, for a $50 bill, the meal is over, the folks have gone laughing and shouting home to bed, and your last word pertaining to the Christmas table is the plural noun orts. Spelled O-R-T-S. So what is your best definition for the plural noun orts?
Would that orts. Be a demitasse?
No. know.
Oh,
By the way, have you a dog?
Oh, yes.
And what is your dog's name?
Well, his name is Luigi.
Luigi. Well, now, in terms of table talk, what will Luigi expect from the table?
The scrap.
You right.
Noah Webster says orts, the plural noun, means scraps.
Marvelous. Here's your $50 bill, and a Merry Christmas to you and yours, and please stand by at the final exam.
Thank you.
And now, folks, while we prepare tonight for tonight's final exam, we'll have another word from John Storm.
Yes, you folks at home may play America's favorite radio game, Noah Webster says. Just select five words you'd like to hear defined on this program, then mail your five words to Noah Webster Says, care of the National Broadcasting Company, Hollywood 28, California. A postal card will do. We may rearrange or edit them to our discretion. All lists become the property of Noah Webster Says. And when your list is used on the air, a check for $5 will be mailed to you. In the event listeners submit identical lists, only the ones bearing the earliest postmark will be considered. The decision of our judges must be final. And now, back to Haven McQuarrie.
Yes, Johnny, we're all ready for the final exam, which amounts tonight to $50. You contestants have been given a paper on which appears one word. You've had 60 seconds to jot down your definition for that word, and among those of you who are right, the sum of $50 will be divided. If there are no correct answers, the total will be added to next week's final exam. And to you folks at home, the word for which they are writing the definition is the proper noun, Emmanuel. Spelled capital Immanuel. Now, many of you listeners know the answer. Here come their papers with their definitions for the proper noun, Emmanuel. The first paper says, Emmanuel, a Bible word meaning God with us. The second paper says, God with us. The third paper says, Bible word dealing with the birth of Christ. The fourth paper says, God with us. And the fifth paper, a religious name, and the sixth paper, God with us. And now we'll hear what Noah Webster says for Emmanuel, Professor.
Noah Webster says Emmanuel means God with us, an appellation of the Christ.
Which means that according to our judge, there are four winners tonight who will divide $50 in addition to the prizes they have already won. Tonight's winners are the first gentleman to come to the microphone with a funny little thing on the back of the turkey. And the second one is Little Miss Gilbert from Massachusetts. The fourth paper, Mrs. Kirby, the last lady to come to the microphone. And Mrs. Ed Jones, who didn't get to the microphone. We'll have her on very shortly. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen.
Remember, you listeners at home, simply jot down five words that you think will be suitable for this program, then mail your list to Noah Webster Says, care of the National Broadcasting Company, Hollywood 28, California. And when your list is used on the air, you will receive a check for $5. And Haven?
Thanks to the contestants who appeared here tonight, and to you folks who sent in word lists, and also to Dr. Charles Frederick Lindsley, who is the final authority in judging this contest. And now, fellow word lovers, it's time to close the book. Until next week at the same time, when the National Broadcasting Company and I cordially invite you to be with us again when we come to call...
Hear ye what Noah Webster says.
Until then, please remember, you folks at home are invited to join in our game of fun with words. Just jot down five words you think suitable and mail them to Noah Webster Says. Just jot down five words you think suitable and mail them to Noah Webster Says, care of the National Broadcasting Company, Hollywood 28, California. Mail them to Noah Webster Says, care of the National Broadcasting Company, Hollywood 28, California. And when your list is used on the air, you will receive a check for $5. And now this is Haven McQuarrie asking... Have you learned a new word tonight? A Merry Christmas to you and yours. So long.
Tune in next week at this same time for another session of radio's famous Fun with Words game, Noah Webster Says, produced by Andrew C. Love and transcribed in Hollywood. With Haven McQuarrie, Professor Charles Frederick Lindsley, and yours truly, John Storm. And now, Noah Webster Says, a Merry Christmas to you from Hollywood. This program is heard overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service.